We need a foam rubber room is what we need. So I don't know.
Rubber room.
Yeah.
I think we'd all wind up there.
A padded room, yeah, some sort.
Okay, go.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shoup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are theater geeks.
Hi, welcome to episode 23 of Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. Today's episode is entitled House Rules. And we'd also like to welcome back Randy Zonker, our special guest geek. Randy is a longtime friend of ours from our home theater, Elkhart Civic Theater, and is a lighting designer par excellence, as well as a jack of all trades at our organization. So welcome again, Randy.
Thank you, Dave.
We're going to be talking house rules. That's sort of maybe a little cryptic, but we want to talk about the issue of house managers. A lot of community theaters, if you're really small, you might not think very much about having someone who's sort of a house manager. That is the person who, when we talk about that, it's front of house management, really. The part that isn't, it doesn't have a lot to do with the show as an act or acting, performing, but has to do with getting people in and out of their seats, selling tickets, making sure that concessions are up, and all kinds of things.
The face of the organization when the patron walks into the building.
There you go. That's even better.
So it's really important.
It's really important. Now, we are a moderately sized community theater. We own our own theater, and we do. But we never really had house managers. We just have somebody who called for ushers for years, and we thought ushering was kind of that's the whole deal. Mm-hmm. But a number of years ago, we discovered that there was really a need for maybe even a training program. And Randy, you were involved in that. Can you tell us what's the story on how that? Because I wasn't involved at the time, so I don't know how that evolved.
Well, we had our artistic directors were having to stay for absolutely every show, every performance that we did. And one of the volunteers in the scene shop said, why don't we have somebody that can take over for them, that can learn more about it? We started discussing the idea. All of our ushers, all of our box office are volunteers. And we needed somebody to take over the same as our artistic directors. So we set up the plan to keep people and to keep our ushers from having so much pressure from patrons, from other people at the organization, that we needed a go-to person. And this is why we developed the house manager program. The house manager is, in our community theater, is the go-to person. The ushers, if they run into a conflict, they are to go to the house manager. The house manager's job then is to resolve that. The same thing with ticketing and box office. It helps keep your volunteers in a better state of mind. They don't have to deal with the pressures, and that's how we develop the program.
Right. Now, in a professional theater, a house manager really is a full-time employee and manages everything from the ticket sales and reservations and everything, you know, all along the way, in most cases.
Well, and even in some community theaters.
Some community theaters, you do have that. But now in our situation, you know, the house manager is there mostly on the night of performance, but has to understand all that stuff. So, what were some in the training program that we have? I mean, what happens? And what do you learn mainly as a
it's kind of a mentoring situation?
It is. Yeah. It's you learn what lights to turn on, what lights to turn off. I mean, it's the training and or the shadowing has come about that the house managers are responsible for everything. They're responsible not to get the ushers there, but to fill in for ushers if they don't show
up. Somebody doesn't show up, right.
Same thing with box office. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Well, we're looking, you deal with patrons who maybe have an issue with their seating or a problem with their ticket.
Or
the temperature of the room. Or so there's a lot of sort of, PR trying to be trying to be a friendly and kind of calming influence in the face of maybe some issues. Now, right. We were saying, and I was saying that, you know, most of the time in our community theater, most of our patrons are pretty great people, but you do run into a few once in a while who are difficult to please, let's put it that right. way. And that can be a problem, but a good house manager has to be really a good PR person in that respect.
Well, the house manager is a volunteer who comes from volunteering at a different level to begin with. So all the house managers have to have worked box office. All the house managers have to have also ushered. And so they understand those issues to begin with, what it means to work in the box office. And when somebody comes to you and says, somebody's sitting in my seats.
Right.
And the usher, the same thing, you know, it's knowing that they need to check the ticket, walk the aisle, make sure that they're seating the person in the correct seat, making sure that the programs are available, the programs are accurate, that the auditorium is continuously picked up and cleaned, because it's, even though our patrons aren't messy, they drop their tickets on the floor, they drop candy wrappers on the floor.
They drop programs on the floor.
And so as you learn those two aspects of it through volunteering, then you can step into the house management so that you're more prepared for when those issues do hit you. And so that's because you've already dealt with them as a volunteer in a different capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the training program is really, it's just about shadowing. And we have a checklist that was created. I know Randy was instrumental in the initial checklist.
Correct.
Which has been modified quite a bit over the last few years because things have changed. Technology has changed and other things have changed.
Whole box office has changed.
Right.
So in our theater, what's a typical night? I'm the house manager. What happens? What do I do? What's my first job? I show up at?
You generally show up 2 hours prior to
actually,
the
and
show.
That's been changed now. It's an hour and a half.
Hour and a half or so before curtain and?
And you make sure, number one, the theater is clean. That the restrooms are clean.
Right, yeah.
The restrooms are stocked.
I'll tell you what, I would imagine that, you know, as much as seating issues and other things, you know, bad restrooms are probably a real good source of complaint if you're not careful.
Yeah.
It
can be, yeah.
Wow. Okay, go ahead. Anyway, so it's a cleanliness issue to start with, really.
Correct. It's a cleanliness issue. You get the tickets around, get everything set up for the box office. You... we'll make sure certain lights are on.
Yeah.
The house manager makes the coffee, sets out the tea water.
Wow.
Well,
I didn't know all this. How long have I been around there? I had no idea that they did all that.
Right. And now they don't have to have a lot to do with our concessions because we don't have a lot of variety of concessions, right. Really. But we do have, there
are some
issues.
You have to make sure
issues.
The refrigerator is stocked at the end of the evening.
Yeah, okay.
For the next performance.
Right. Right. Oh, okay.
So, and you clean up at the end of the evening. The house manager also has to know all the emergency procedures.
You mean like in case of tornado, everybody go to the basement.
In case of fire.
Jump under your seat. Do something.
Yeah, rather take your chances.
In case of nuclear attack.
Yeah.
And
right.
You brief, the house manager briefs the ushers every time, regardless of whether the ushers have ushered once or 100 times. They still go through the briefing.
So what's the briefing?
The briefing is simply in the event of a fire.
Right.
You will do this, you do that. In the event of a tornado, you do this, you do that.
Tonight we've got a raffle. This is what we're doing.
That's what I was going to say. You know, at times we have the ushers doing other things besides showing people to their seats. They're also there. Well, they're there to assist people. We do have some shows. We have an older audience or even elderly audience. If somebody has a problem, what do you do then?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of, you know, those
lot
kinds
of
emergency
that goes
procedures.
On.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes on to it. There's a lot that the house managers have to know that the ushers don't always have to know. Many times the house managers need to know a little bit of the history of the whole theater.
Really?
Because the house manager is the person that usually the ushers will refer someone to if they have questions. Mm-hmm. About the theater.
Wow,
so,
that's interesting. Do you get many questions like how old is the theater and how long have you been in here and that kind of thing?
Those are
that's
are
really kind of
almost
neat.
Every time that there are new people who are truly interested in theater, you know, not somebody that would just had to come with somebody else to see a show.
I see. We do get some of those.
Yeah, but some of those people get interested, too.
I know, and they come back, which is nice. But as John was saying initially, this is the face of the theater to everybody that walks in the door. You know, aside from what they see on the stage, which we assume will always be the best that we can do. But I think that house managers obviously take a lot of pride in what they do. And don't they? I assume they have to instill that same attitude in their ushers, rather than the ushers just kind of leaning up against the wall and saying, here's your program, do you know where you're sitting? And then the people walk in, oh, well, okay. You know, it's taking them to their seats and making sure they're on the right side for easiest access. I experienced that in another theater when I was on vacation. This theater happens to have one long aisle, I mean, one long row. You know, there's no center aisle. And the ushers are supposed to say, well, with this, you'd be better off going in from the other side. And they never, so people were constantly walking over people to get from one to like 18, which is better off from the other side, and disturbing everybody. And this, I assume, is part of what the ushers have to do.
Yeah, we have that same, our aisle is not that, our center section is not that long, but we guide people to one side or the other if we have to.
And that is a part of our usher training.
Yep. Right. Yep.
I do, like on opening nights, for example, in my theater, I will do a lot of the stuff for the house manager before they get there, just because I've got the time during the day to do it. But after that, I rely heavily on the house managers as the artistic director, because there are nights when I don't want to be there. For example, with this show, I'm actually also stage managing the show that we're in right now. So it's just, the house manager does a lot of stuff that keeps the staff from having to worry about that aspect of the theater.
And the house manager is also a part of every show. Mm-hmm. Okay, they are on headset. They are communicating with the backstage.
Oh, yeah, that's the iPhone. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. They do. Ours do have something to do with the
people.
With the show itself.
Correct. Stage manager is in constant contact with the front of house to make sure that everything's clear, that there aren't any problems, that we're able to start on time.
Right. Are there still people in the lobby coming in? Now, we don't hold...
Exactly.
We will not hold our shows excessively.
Sometimes we do, but...
Occasionally, what I mean that by holding a show is we hold the curtain for a few minutes and maybe run, maybe up to 5 minutes after actual start. Mm-hmm. If there is, for example,
a
large group that is still standing in line for the restroom, or if there is a... a problem.
Well, we did Thoroughly Modern Millie this year, and there was a huge storm on one of the performance nights that knocked trees down. We delayed the show 15 or 20 minutes because we knew people were having a hard time getting to the theater. Do we reimburse them? No, if they can't get there, say, hey, call me. I'll try and find another date for you. But we wanted to hold for as long as we could, so that if they could get there, they could.
Well, now, at that point, if in case of something which is not usual like that, who makes the announcement that we're holding for, because of the weather and to allow other people to get here? Is that the artistic director or is that the house manager?
The house manager makes that decision.
Yes, okay. And
if the artistic director is not there.
If the artistic director is there in the current show, the artistic director is also stage managing the show. So through communication with the house manager, it would more than likely be the artistic director because he's there, he's on headset. The house manager normally will make those type of an announcement.
Right, okay. And because the house manager knows how many tickets have still not been picked up at the box office. The stage manager, it's not their job to check that all the time. They've got other things to do. So, there's somebody up front has to just realize that we just really don't have everybody here yet, and so we need to wait for a few minutes.
And I think it's important to say that through the work that Randy and the folks did initially on our house management program at the Opera House, that program then became a standing committee on our board of directors. So we have a standing, there is a chair of that committee who is responsible specifically responsible for making sure that the box office and the ushers are in line every night. So that's basically the house manager of the house managers. So
that's our front of house.
That's our front of house committee chair.
Okay, who's responsible for getting the ushers? You need like
the front of house committee chair.
Okay.
So that's
but that does not necessarily mean the house manager.
Correct. No. So the house management, then that's a program into itself, and those are people that are also found by the front of house chair to run each night's
See, I'm learning things. This is really interesting.
So, but we felt it was important enough that it became a committee, a standing committee, because it really, as I said, it's the first thing that the audience sees when they walk into the building, smiling faces who know what's going on. And the last thing you want is a house manager who is hesitant.
Or grumpy.
Or grumpy.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes,
that's why I'm not
sometimes
a house manager.
Sometimes house managers have to make a decision that is not necessarily going to be real popular with a particular patron. But it's better to be that way than to be hesitant, probably. You just say, look, this is the way we have to do it. I'm sorry. You know, and if that's the issue, then that's the way. I mean, if that's the decision that has to be made, it usually is better to make it quickly, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, rather than have to hem and haw and act like you don't really know which decision to make, I suppose. You know, especially like ticket disputes or a problem someone really hates their seating. You know, if you can't move them, you know, what's the decision you make? You know, you can come on another night. If you'd rather sit closer, I cannot give you another seat. You have to be able to say that, you know, and be able to do that rather than say, well, let's just wait and see if somebody doesn't show up and blah, or we'll give you folding chairs on stage or, you know, something. And there's, no, you know, the alternatives are clear, and you just kind of stick with those. So, what's the
most common complaint from patrons?
Too hot, too cold.
Or too cold.
That's really?
What I thought. Yeah.
And
that's what I thought.
Or I can't see over that person's hair.
Yeah.
I can't see. Yeah. It's that person's head is so big. I've actually had that complaint. Somebody walked in the lobby one time. I'm sitting behind somebody, and their head is so big, I can't see the stage.
Wow. And I thought, that's unfortunate, and then you can't do much. Give them a cushion. There's not much you can do about
it. Yeah,
that.
Yeah. We have little booster cushions for kids and little bitty people.
Yeah.
And so we have those, but we don't have an unlimited supply of those either.
But hot and cold, you're right, Randy. It's hot and cold.
And
there's
cold.
Very little
you can do
actually
about
that you can do about it.
Yeah.
Other than to train your patrons that if they're always too hot when they come to a show, request aisle seats because the air conditioning is on the aisles.
And if they're
and it gets real warm in the middle.
Right.
Right. And that works with people who are regulars, you know.
Right.
But the other thing, too, is, of course, if the theater is cool when they come in, they think it seems like it's cold. 90% of the time, it's going to get warmer.
Yeah. Well, that's what lights come
body
on.
Heat and lights.
I've tried to, and I try to educate our patrons about that as well, is that, you know, our system, we've got it set at 71 degrees, and there's a reason, because once the lights come up, literally, they will add 10 degrees to the auditorium.
Right.
So you have to set it low so that...
You almost never raise the temperature in the auditorium during a performance, do you?
No. Even in the winter, I keep it set at, you know...
You
know, so it's cool. You know, and we just request that people, and people have started to learn that they bring a sweater or they bring a light jacket, and they're fine when they sit in the auditorium. But it really, if not, the actors on stage, and I know we can't just, it's not all about the actor comfort, although sometimes it is, but, you know, the actors on stage are going to be just sweating buckets because we can't control the heat in the auditorium, and that heat comes right up onto the stage.
Right.
You know.
So, you know, for theaters out there, I think we have a very good system and program, essentially, for house management. And we're of a size where it makes sense because we will have, like, maybe four ushers along with a stage manager a couple of hundred people, you know, coming to performances. But even for a smaller theater, at least considering the concept, it may be downscaling it for a smaller theater makes a lot of sense no matter what, because we're saying all community theaters have a public face, if that's really ultimately it, and you have to have a public face that appears to be friendly and competent. Is that kind of where we're heading with? Yeah. So like for a smaller theater, would you recommend, basically, our recommendation is all theaters ought to consider this as an integral part of the whole package.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And the house manager, again, gives the patrons and or the ushers someone to go to. Doesn't interfere if patrons have questions, have issues. Doesn't interfere with the ushers doing their job. It doesn't interfere with box office. continuing to do their job.
Yeah, I mean, it's just strictly...
So even a smaller theater, if you only have two ushers, those ushers still have something to do. A house manager then is available for all of the other issues.
That's right. You don't take an usher offline, in essence.
Right.
So that then nobody's getting seated while they're dealing with one person's problem.
This or stage people are getting seated and they're being seated in the wrong spots because they haven't waited for the usher to seat them.
That's right. Cool. Well, I think that's what I think we covered what we came to cover.
I'd love to say, though, I mean, if anybody's ever interested in starting their own house management program, give us a call if you're local, and we'd be more than happy to have you step in and watch what we do. Or I would encourage people across the country who are listening and maybe have not done this with their own theaters, go find a theater that has a house management program and agree to volunteer your time there.
Yeah, just follow
and learn
follow
what it is,
bit,
and then take it back to your own theater, because I think it's a real important
And if you're
aspect.
In our area, you know what? Elkhart, Indiana is right along the Indiana Toll Road, so just come, or Bristol is too, and just come right on in and see a show, you know, give us some money.
It's not all about money.
No, but I mean, the thing is nice you know, we love to have people come from out of the area because and learn from us, and we can learn from you as well. Right. Share information. That's all the time we've got for this episode of Theater Geeks. Remember to stop by our website, www.theatergeeks.com. Look at our store where you can get hats, shirts,
mugs,
tote bags.
Do we have underwear yet?
No. Geez. I didn't put the thongs in yet. But I still think we had a
chance.
Okay. And there's other good stuff in the Theater Geeks store. Drop us a line. Give us some ideas for other shows. We did send out a mailing. If you want to be on our mailing list, by the way, go to the website and you will see sign up for our newsletter. And you can do it right there online. And then you'll hear about all the episodes as they come up and other geek news. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
And once more, again, thank you to Randy Zonker for being with us today.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.